listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome back. Happy Tuesday. Tuesday is a great day to start off with great topics. I wanted to follow up with you on the Elisiana Carter Libby case, 13-year-old that was murdered brutally in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I was supposed to have her parents on today, but due to them still not taking this tragedy so well, I left the door open for them to call in. They were supposed to call in. If they do decide to call in, I will stop the topic that we're going to discuss today. But everybody be compassionate because, you know, we're all parents. Well, some of us are parents and some of us are co-parents to children we may have gave birth to and some we may have not given birth to. So we all have to have a sense of compassion for that parent that has lost a child or more or less anyone that has lost a loved one. We have to take those factors into consideration and not be brutal with harsh comments about, you know, their past life or their current life or what's going on today in their surrounding life. It could be people, places, and things. Sometimes those things affect us as people in a whole because we have to deal with so many obstacles throughout the day in our life. And then we have to go home and deal with our families. And then we have to wake up and do it all over again. So it's challenging. It's called life and it's challenging. And that is understandable. But where we left off last week was with Joe, wife 215, and Black Barbie. I believe it's Black Barbie or Barbie. I'm not sure. I gave her the name. I got some feedback on that particular conversation about knowing your neighbor and when things can turn to a serious standpoint, such as wife 215, where she was brutally assaulted by the boyfriend of Black Barbie. And, you know, to my understanding, I've been notified that the boyfriend of, I'll just call her Barbie. As a matter of fact, I got her Bigfoot. So I will just call her Bigfoot because that's the nominated request to give her. I don't know if her feet are big or not, but this is the name that I was requested to give her. So I will give her that name as it was nominated in. So we'll recant to wife 215, Joe, the husband being Joe, and Bigfoot. Bigfoot has a boyfriend, and the boyfriend has came around since he assaulted wife 215, which is a little odd. So, you know, all that is for five. It's kind of weird, but I don't know. It's a crazy story, crazy situation, especially when, you know, as wife 215 described, there was gunshots being fired. Her family's life was in jeopardy, not only her family, but she had guests at her home at that particular time. And their life was also in jeopardy due to Bigfoot and her boyfriend wanting to, I guess, intimidate the wife, because maybe she said one or two things she shouldn't have said, such as, excuse me, can I please speak with you concerning my husband? And that flared up in Bigfoot because Bigfoot is saying, how could that be your husband? He's my man. So it's important for people to know their neighbors and know their motives. And guys, listen, you are not innocent when it comes to any of this, because you know when a woman is flirting with you. You know, you guys try to play it off like, I didn't know that she liked me. You had to know that she liked you. I'm quite sure she gave you some type of eye contact. She wore some type of provocative clothing. Now, the number one thing is, does she touch you when she talks to you? That's another key signal that there's some potential liking going on that is more than likely being hidden between the fine lines of telling you directly that she has a crush on you. Let's say a neighborly crush. Well, usually they, you know, let you check them out. They know you're watching them. So they'll like bend over, you know, toot it up a little bit. It's like a guy, ladies. You know how the guys do it. They flex a little muscle. They come outside. They cut the grass, no shirt on. Let me let my neighbor see how sexy I am because her husband is fat and has an overlapping stomach. Usually that's how it goes. So it doesn't work just on one side of the fence. It actually works on both sides of the fence because it's a two-way street for male and female when it comes to knowing the signs of flirting. And also, these are the signs that you should be looking out for because these could be the deadly signs of a neighbor that has a serious mental illness condition. So you want to be on alert of these signs before you become friendly and you start feeding the neighbor, feeding their children, along with their cats and their dogs, and saying, "Hey, neighbor, I'm Joe. Come on over and have some macaroni salad or some potato salad and some barbecue chicken." You know, you get the cookouts for the stuff. Really, it takes place at, you know, gatherings. Your neighbor's outside. They're like waving. They see you having company and they're not invited. Oh, no, they must be invited. They're your neighborly neighbors. So you try to be friendly. As Wife 215 stated, she tried to be friendly with this lady, not knowing that this lady was actually trying to steal her husband, which has a very deadly twist to it. This neighbor, Bigfoot, actually found out, well, visually saw that the husband, Joe, bought the wife, 215, a new car. And she figured, how are you buying her new car? I didn't get a new car. Where's my car? So the signs were there. It's just that the neighborly neighbors ignored the signs of a deranged neighbor who wanted a part of their life. Now, Joe, the husband, who was being Joe, he actually befriended the neighbor because he felt sorry for her. You know, the neighbor has a child that suffers from autism. Joe, he is in the medical field where he services children with autism and treats them diagnostically. So he pretty much fell in the trap of, "Hi, I know this is what you do for a living, Joe, my neighbor, and can you please help my son because I'm having problems with him too." Well, Bigfoot takes this to heart. And like last week's conversation, you know, Bigfoot basically said, "Listen, I have a hole in my wall. And Joe, I need you to come upstairs by my bedroom and I need you to take a look at it because it needs to get plugged in." So Joe, being neighborly, of course, goes in the house to find out that, you know, okay, there's a hole, but I'm not a handyman. So really, why am I here? Oh, Bigfoot says to Joe, "By the way, Joe, since you don't fix holes, I have a box I need you to move." So Joe looks around and says, "Okay, I'll move the box. Where's the box?" Bigfoot says, "It's in my bedroom." Joe goes, as a neighborly neighbor would do, into the bedroom to help her move the box. And when he gets in the bedroom, there is no box to be moved. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a true story, okay? Wife 215 couldn't confirm all the details, but I got all the details and all the juice how Bigfoot got crazy and wanted to potentially kill Joe for being too Joe with her. And I had to figure out that word Joe, because when I was told that word, Joe, being too Joe, is someone being a little too overly friendly with the, you know, the neighbor. Like Joe was being very friendly with the neighbor. So now back to Joe moving the box. There's no box to be moved. So Joe, being Joe, finds himself in a compromising situation where he's in Bigfoot's bedroom. And literally he starts to sweat, according to what he told me. He starts to sweat and wonders, where is the box that she truly wants me to move? There was no box, Joe. Okay. Her box maybe would have been her rear end, the box on the back of her or the box on the front of her. Maybe that's the box she was insinuating for you to move, you know, like fix the hole in the wall. You know, guys don't read between the fine lines. Now, with this story being told, Joe put his family in danger by being Joe with the neighbor. Okay. And the wife went along with Joe because a wife is supposed to trust her husband's judgment. Because the man, according to what Spartacus has said, and all of the kings of the past have said, the Romans, even down to the British, that the man is the head of the household. So women have a tendency to follow the lead of the man of the house. So she followed his judgment. Wife 215 followed her husband's judgment and thinking that he was making the right decision in having Bigfoot entertained by his company, you know, their neighbors. And it almost cost wife 215, her family members, and may or maybe not Joe, because remember, Bigfoot has a thing for Joe. So maybe she wanted to get the wife out of the way, wife 215. Remember, wife 215 got jumped by Bigfoot, her boyfriend, and some other, you know, crowd takers that wanted to be a part of the action. So Joe could have gotten his wife killed with this situation, and it's not uncommon. And before you approach your neighbor, you have to be very careful on how you approach them, because if you don't know their demeanor towards your private life, now, Joe and wife 215, their neighbors, the neighbor Bigfoot sees all of their happy cookouts and family members coming over, sees them with new cars. And the wife has this humongous 8-carat ring on her hand. So she's looking at all of the luxuries that could be possibly hers. And guys do not pay attention to that. They maybe look at the physique. You know, I would say, if it's not a very attractive lady facial wise and she's attractive below the neck, guys typically look at below the neck and make comment on, oh yeah, she's really cool. She's a good person. She's okay with me. So it's something to keep your eyes open about, ladies, when your husband tells you the neighbor is really a nice person and you're overreacting. I got a lot of feedback last week's show with wife 215. I've had a few stories that, you know, people have sent to me of their own situations that have been thrown out there, and they really wanted some kind of answer to what they should do or how they should do it. And they are listening on this particular show today, and I will give them the answer to their questions. Hopefully it can add some clarity, and it hopefully can add some knowledge of what wife 215 just went through by your husband being Joe, you know, Joe being too Joe. So we have to take those things into consideration. But I will be discussing that as soon as I come back from this commercial break.
Looking for a holistic approach to a healthy new lifestyle? Akir CMOS is the vitamin-rich solution you need with 92% of the nutrients our body needs. What does CMOS do? Promotes natural weight loss, helps build body muscle, builds a healthier immune system, helps allergies. Consuming CMOS when you're sick is a win, but consuming when you're healthy is a win-win. Visit AcureCMOS.com today and begin your journey to a healthier lifestyle.
Ever wanted a skylight? Don't wait for the rain to visit you. Stop that leaky roof today. Untouchable roofers get it done right the first time. 10% discounts for seniors and all law enforcement. Contact our team of dedicated experts for a free consultation at 267-467-1222 or find us on Instagram at Untouchable Roofers. Servicing Philadelphia and New Jersey surrounding areas.
Hey, hey, I'm back. And this would be the question from someone. I don't know who that individual is, but it's the name that came in with it is Christian Love. And Christian Love wants to know, how do I not love my neighbor when I am a Christian and that is what I'm being taught? I was taught, love thy neighbor as you love yourself. Is it wrong for me to love my neighbor as far as intimacy is concerned, knowing that I am married? Well, Christian Love, let me say this to you. That quote, love thy neighbor as you love yourself, I'm taking it as that quote means love your neighbor in a neighborly way, not as you would love yourself, but love yourself in a neighborly way, if that's your neighbor. Be kind, I would suggest. You can be giving, but I guess to a certain extent, being as though you're married, it's only so much you can give, because that would definitely red flag anybody's marriage if you're being too neighborly, like neighborly Joe, whose wife 215's husband. So I'm not sure if you could follow love thy neighbor as you love yourself if you're looking at your neighbor in an intimate way. I think you really need to talk to someone in your faith and get a better clarity. If you're having intimate feelings towards your neighbor and you need clarity on that verse from the Bible. So I would say that to you. I'm not sure if, you know, if that answers your question or not. And I hope I gave you the best advice that I could possibly give in a situation when it comes to biblical terms, because they can be misinterpreted. So that is your answer, Christian Love. Another question came in from Scary Mom. Scary Mom says her husband is fantasizing about the next door neighbor. The husband came to her truthfully and told her he's having bad fantasies and he's trying to overcome them and he feels guilty because she's a hot 27-year-old and he's having sexual fantasies about her. And he wanted his wife to know because they have been happily married for 13 years. And they have an active sex life. He actually brought this to the neighbor's attention about his sexual fantasies. The wife actually finds out. Scary Mom finds the name Scary Mom. Scary Mom finds out that her husband has been texting or sexting, because I think sexting also involves nude pictures. Put him in the shower, and he comes clean because he feels guilty. One morning, the wife and the neighbor, Scary Mom and the neighbor, the female neighbor, exchanges words with each other, and the neighbor felt a little intimidated. And throughout all of this intimidation, via a verbal argument, turns into the neighbor actually cutting the wife's, Scary Mom, she's scared at this point, cutting her car tires, breaking out all of her car windows, and spray painting vulgar language on her car. This happened all in the middle of the night while Scary Mom was sleeping at home with her fantasizing husband. Scary Mom wants to know, should she be afraid and in fear of her life? Because she's very thankful about the story from Wife 215. And Scary Mom wanted to know, is there a reason why she shouldn't divorce her husband now that all of this has transpired? My advice to Scary Mom would be, talk to your husband, seek marital counseling, definitely pursue the charges against your neighbor because things may not stop there. I mean, you don't want to be at home sleeping, Scary Mom, and this woman burns your house down, and then you know you have a bigger escalated situation. Remember the story from Wife to, oh, Scary Mom is on this on the line today. She's actually on the on live with us listening in. She wanted to let me know. But Scary Mom, I want to tell you, you know, and I appreciate you having that, you know, intuition of moving forward and being proactive and filing charges, because a lot of people don't have the courage and they won't do it because they are really afraid of retaliation. And believe me, it does happen. And like I said, you don't want to wake up just to realize that you're in the house and you're sleeping in a burning bed because the neighbor has broken into your house or something and set you and your husband on fire. So these are things to take into consideration when you have to boil down to filing charges. Do you become that afraid person, or do you get courage and say, I can do this? Okay, because this would be the next criminal investigation of, you know, I would say, I don't even know how to title it, Wife 215 and Joe's story. The woman who wanted to steal my life. That's a good one. Because usually these women see what the other women have going on. They see how they live and they actually want to live that life. So when they can't live that life and they feel that like Wife 215 is not privy to that life because maybe Wife 215 is not as shapely as she is. Who knows what she may be thinking? She may think that, you know, Bigfoot may have been thinking she was the beauty queen. But I want to tell you, Scary Mom, I'm proud of you. File charges. Stick to your guns. Don't let anybody take you out of your comfort zone, and do what's best for your family. Now, I have another question from Cool Mama. Can't make these names up. This is so funny. Cool Mama said that she had an affair with her neighbor. Her husband found out. Her husband murdered the neighbor, which is very traumatizing. Cool Mama. Cool Mama is also listening in on the show today. Cool Mama, that is very traumatizing that, you know, your husband killed your neighbor because he found out, you know, you guys were horsing around, well, doing more than horsing around, obviously. And Cool Mama says that she actually fell for the neighbor because, remember, just to backtrack, I told you about the neighbors, you know, that goes either side of the fence, male or female, comes outside, no shirt on, you know, mowing the lawn, he looks good. Your fat, overweight husband, belly hanging over, he's at work, eating the next lunch from the next lunch truck that comes by, that type of thing. So you look at the neighbor like, wow, he's so active and in shape. I love it. I want a piece of the action. Okay, Cool Mama, this is what happened in your story. I get it. Mama, Cool Mama's question is, should she feel obligated to go visit her husband who has been sentenced to 25 years in prison because she feels guilty that he's in prison because of her actions with her neighbor. I would say, Kumama, that, you know, I would feel kind of guilty if I were you. You know, it would be kind of riding my heart, because you should have never crossed that line with the neighbor in the first place. And these stories lead to situations such as these, where they become deadly and people, they can really do some damage here. So my advice to Cool Mama is, I would definitely be my husband's support system for the next 25 years of your life, because you are the one that caused this situation. Now, yes, I could be wrong, and I know I'm going to get some feedback and some backlash via my email from you guys. I already know. I got it. Why should she feel obligated when she is the cause of her husband murdering the neighbor? That's what I just got a text on, by the way. This came in from Shirley325. Well, Shirley, you know what? Cool Mama caused this action, and it is her duly right to be there at this point in time, because she could have gotten a divorce. Listen, she's not a Joe. I'm going to say Cool Mama is a Jane being a Jane. Okay, like a Joe being a Joe, Jane being a Jane. Cool Mama had every reasonable amount of time to go get a divorce, where her husband would not be serving 25 years of his life in prison due to killing his neighbor. And not only did he kill his neighbor, but he also killed their dogs as well. So, you know, animal activists actually had gotten involved in this case. And that is pretty much, you know, when you start killing dogs, it's like, you can't do that. You can't kill a human being. You can't do that either. Don't get me wrong. But to take an innocent animal's life, that's really a heinous crime. It's absurd. I guess, you know, when you're in that position and something snapped, you know, kill the neighbor, kill the dogs, you know, Cool Mama, you're lucky to be alive. So if it is a dangerous threat to visit him in the prison, then I suggest to you that you don't go, because it could be harmful to your health. Because, I mean, you're in a room technically with the person. I mean, if he's not behind a glass, you are still legally his wife, according to what you wrote in to me. So I would say I would ask for a visit behind the glass before you go see him. You know, that's a little bit too dangerous. But that's my answer to you, Cool Mama. Be there for your husband, because it was your negligence that caused that situation. Another gentleman wrote me in. He's from southwest of Scranton. He calls himself Mr. Scranton. He witnessed his neighbors fight during the wintertime. What he thought was over a parking spot via, you know, they shovel out the spots. You can't take my spot because I shoveled it. So little did he know, the neighbor's husband actually shoveled a spot for the female neighbor, which was another gentleman's husband. Okay, so now it's Mr. Scranton witnessing this incident, and it's two married couples that actually get into a shootout with each other. And Mr. Scranton, his question is, he was present during this in 2021, February of 2021. And he wanted to know, should he feel bad about testifying against his neighbor that actually issued the fatal shot? Well, I'm going to say this. You witnessed the crime. You were there. You gave a statement. Of course, you put yourself at the scene. So Mr. Scranton, there you go. That's your answer. We'll be back after this commercial break.
Hair breakage driving you crazy? Get rid of your dead hair and breakage. Swift cuts to the rescue. We take hair care personal. Urban blends to protect your mane. Start your hair journey today. www.swiftcutshairandbeardcare.com.
Hey there. I'm back again. There's a family member. Now, this incident happened in, which is really, really weird. This incident happened, I believe, in 2019. And I had a family member of the deceased write me a very extensive letter in regards to this incident from 2019. You know, I tell people this all the time. If you don't want to be married, get a divorce. Okay? It's called domestic violence at the end of the day. And if you're not careful, especially, you know, and I'm very straightforward and honest. In my past marriage, I was involved in domestic violence issues that, by the way, were dropped because, you know, you're guilty until you're proven guilty or innocent, let's say. But, you know, in my past marriage, that was a situation where a young lady, because my husband at that particular time, I'm married to a gem now, let me throw that in there. But my past husband, he actually had a female friend that was supposedly just a friend. And I accepted it because everyone, you know, you get married, everyone has their own set of friends. So you kind of let them get a pass. Like, that's his friend for 25 years. Okay, that's old news. I'm the wife. That's all that matters. This woman, who I got to know as his friend, come to find out, was really not a friend. She was an ex that was a hidden piece of the puzzle from the marriage, my marriage to him. Of course, he didn't want to air that out. So one day I see this young lady and she says, you know, how's the family? How's things going? And I'm like, oh, everything is fine. And then out of the blue, she asked me, well, how's your husband? And I said, he's fine. I said, I'm thinking about putting him on eBay as a little joke, you know, put him up for sale. She replies and says, well, you wouldn't get much on eBay because I've had him already and it's not worth much. So I felt a little embarrassed. So I got home. I screamed my lungs out because I was in disbelief that this friend of his of 25 years, come to find out she was a stray from the past, come to find out that, you know, they had a little thing going on that she hadn't gotten over. And it was really, really challenging for me. So we get into a shouting match. And, you know, sometimes when you live in certain neighborhoods, and we talked about that at one time before on one of my shows, it's not called racism. It's called the price tag. So you can only live in certain neighborhoods with the price tag attached to it. So we live in this bougie neighborhood, okay, where houses are not less than 1 million, okay? And taxes are like $40,000 for the year. Okay, that's the reality of my life. And I'm shouting. And in my neighborhood, shouting is not permitted. You do not shout in a million-dollar home neighborhood, according to my neighbors. But I was so furious when I got home, I just blurted everything out And I was just like, I let him, he got his ear torn off verbally. You know, if I could have put my teeth on it, maybe I could have cheated or something. But, you know, I kept my composure, didn't want any domestic violence involved. And long story short, my neighbor called the police because I was yelling. And then he was yelling. So I was charged with domestic violence because I was yelling at my husband. Okay, later to go to court, the judge reviewed the charges and said, well, had you been on your front lawn, this would have been a disorderly person's charge. But you were in your home, so we don't even know why you received this charge. Long story short, the charge was dismissed, which was a good thing. But when you are in a marriage with someone, and this goes for neighborly neighbors, Joe being Joe, Jane being Jane, you have to know when to separate the two. Okay. And the next question that came in is from, and by the way, guys, this is a very active case right now going on in the state of New Jersey. Okay. People need to get a divorce when it's time and not horse around with telling who you're married to, you love them, and then you're telling the other you love them too. You gotta stop it, because if Joe's gonna be Joe and Jane's gonna be Jane, it's gonna be a serious bloodbath going on. So the question I got in is in regards to a former police lieutenant that is accused of killing his wife. Okay. He actually, I don't know, I guess, you know, you could say accused, but listen, if the guy says, listen, I did it, they have the weapon that it was done with, you actually did it. Okay. So the question that I received was this police, well, now former police lieutenant, you didn't think he was still on the job, did you? But he, the family member wanted to know, being as though he murdered his wife. He murdered his wife. Okay. He ran her down. He gets off early from work. He went to pick up some glasses and drop them off at home. And he was out hanging out with the guys. I think they may have even been, you know, people have their little ups and downs and, okay, you stay at your mom's, I'm going to stay home with the kids and we're going to co-parent until we can figure this thing out. Okay, this is what happens. He drops the eyeglasses off for his son. Well, he attempts to drop them off. Instead, he realizes when he enters the home, there's a man laying in his bed with his wife, with his two children in the next room. So quite naturally, anybody would have lost it. Now, I'll get back to the story, but the question was, that way we can give a great answer on this. The family member wants to know, being as though the ex-police lieutenant is their family member, should they feel obligated to take his two children to see him while he's incarcerated? Okay. Due to the nature of the story where he actually, the former police lieutenant, okay, he doesn't just shoot the boyfriend, boom, boom, you're in my bed. He actually shoots the wife as well in the torso. And then when he realizes the wife runs out the front door. She left the kids in the house with him and the wounded boyfriend. She runs down the street to a neighbor's house to seek help. The trained lieutenant runs her down. He runs her down and he confronts her on the neighbor's step and he shoots a point blank range in the head. Okay. He doesn't go back to the house right away. But guess what? Now, this is how, you know, life unfolds, unfortunately, sometimes for so many people in these situations, you know. This is not a Joe being Joe or Jane being Jane. This is an actual situation of infidelity. Okay. The boyfriend who got shot multiple times, guess what? He's around to tell the story because he survived. He survived this brazen gun battle that took place. And the wife was murdered point blank range. Thank goodness the children that were in the home at the time were not harmed. So that was, you know, because that could have went another kind of way. You know, it happens all the time. You know, they kill everybody in the house. But he spared the life of these two children. And the relative wanted to know, is it right for them to take the children to see him while he's currently incarcerated? And he's currently, you know, he'll be going to trial to be tried for this murder. So they have some ill feelings about whether or not the children should ever see their dad. You know, I see it as this, it's not the children's fault. You know, they're very young children on top of that. So they may not know a lot except for what the family is going to feed them and what they're going to read from the media. So this is a very challenging question that I would say as a parent that, you know, I could honestly answer. I'll say this, family member, you know, I'm not sure if I could truly answer that question. And I do apologize because, you know, it would be, you know, I may get backlash from my audience on how I answer that question because I don't want to be biased. You know, because a lot of guys may have a different view and there may be some females that have a different view as well on this topic. So I just wanted to make it clear that something like that, the tragedy that happened, you know, if the kids weren't home, then, you know, okay, they know the minimum. But who knows what these kids witnessed that night? Even though they're very young, they were school age children, so they're not like babies. That's a tough question for me to answer, you know, and I wouldn't want to be the person to give you that answer and you follow my lead of if it was yes and give you the reasons why, if it's no and give you the reasons why. This is more of a topic for the family to get together and make a decision on and how they want to go about doing it. That's what I wanted to tell you. Family member 27. That's the name, family member 27. You know, I want to be fair and I feel like my opinion on something like that would not be fair. And by the way, the boyfriend is actually suing the husband for, you know, him getting injured that night. And I'm quite sure the police department I'm not sure how they may get sued in all of this, but, you know, it's very, very, it's very, very challenging when it comes to things like this and decisions when it comes to the little people and making decisions. And I do want to say for those that are out there that have, you know, stories to tell, there was a story that was supposed to air on this show about a young man who was missing. And I believe it was Delaware County, it's in Philadelphia. The parents were going to reach out to me in regards to it. But the son was missing, and come to find out, the son was actually a predator. So he was missing because he was wanted by the law for raping multiple young ladies. you know, I mean, he was, the family really thought that someone did bodily harm to him. And now they're like, they're doing police reports. They did missing persons. FBI, I'm possibly sure, joined in, because no one disappears in thin air like that. And from my understanding, this kid is only 17 years old. So you have a 17-year-old that is supposedly missing, but he made himself missing because of his alleged acts. And come to find out, this 17-year-old is a predator. He's a predator. So he was on the run knowing what he did. So he was not actually a missing person. You see, the law is kind of tricky. You know, they put out the you know, Amber Alerts and person last seen here and there. And this kind of reminds me of the King Hills case, King Miranda's case, the missing 2-year-old that turned 3 years old out of Philadelphia. Mysterious. They never put out an Amber Alert. That was always kind of weird to me, but the detectives in the case did say somebody was lying. And honestly, if you really look into the case a little bit deeper with the biological father out there somewhere, he may have came and taken his rightful ownership of what rightfully belongs to him. I mean, you know, the mother has some legal rights, depending. But for the most part, he may have came and confiscated his child. You know, meanwhile, Tiana Parks is still locked up. And there's a lot of twists and turns to this story. You know, some details that I can't share with you because it's still an ongoing investigation. And I'm going to say tea sippers and wink, wink, if you know what I mean. It's still open. Tiana Parks' trial has been postponed for further investigation because someone is not telling the truth. And obviously it's not the babysitter dad who was just the babysitter dad. And then it's not the babysitter who was actively involved in the role as a babysitter. But I'm going to put some food for thought in your mind because, you know, this show basically is to keep you updated with missing persons, whether they're found, details, supporting truth, confirmations of facts. And that's why the show is titled as It's Confirmed, because we confirm everything. And sooner or later, baby King Hill, he'll be 4th July 29th coming up. His appearance may look different. He may be in a hot place where he's received a tan. They may have even cut his hair off. And for sure, he's gotten taller. So just know that this is not over. And he will be found. And people that do have him and have participated will be charged. There's been a lot of money spent, government money spent, on locating him and finding out the truth. There's been, oh gosh, I can't even imagine the legal bills from Tiana's attorney, what it's costing to keep this thing ongoing and investigating. But as Tiana Parks say, it will unveil itself. And I'm very confident that this case will unveil itself. And all the partakers, you know, the family friends, the family members, the co-constituents, it's all going to surface to light. You know, all the ones blaming others for his disappearance when they know they partook in it and actually knew of it. So, you know, my question is, was it murder? Was it kidnapping? Or was it hide and go seek? Details yet to be revealed. Thanks for joining me. See you next week. Bye now.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.